In my notes, I have this highlighted and underlined, and it says, life as it is can be at war with life as it should be. Life as it is can be at war with life as it should be. So the goal, the destination, is not a distant place or time. The goal, the destination, is life as it should be. And the thing that comes against that can be the sin curse. It can be a culture that is anti-kingdom. It can be sickness. All this comes under the what was brought in with the sin curse. It can be generational curses. It can be all these things, a compilation of all the above. But is waging war against life as it should be. So our goal is not heaven someday, because I agree, heaven is here, heaven is now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is the prayer that Jesus taught the apostles. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it looks like many things to us on how we walk that journey out. It looks like faith. It looks like obedience to the word. We've been talking a lot about faith the last several weeks out of Hebrews 11. The word says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, it can move mountains. So a lot hinges on faith. He talks about trying to live a life without sin. It can look like waging war against, and there is a place for spiritual warfare against things, coming against principalities. But I think the most important thing, and we see it in 1 John, and I'm going to read a few verses here, is it's about love. I'm not trying to bring anything down from this morning at all, but a quote from a show that Lori and I watch. Lori and I watch 1883. And it's the story about a family that's trying to, with a group of settlers, they're going the Oregon Trail to get out west. And the little girl that's narrating this family comes from Tennessee, the little girl that's narrating this and speaking first person into this, she's an 18-year-old girl. And she made a statement in this way early, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but it really stuck with me, and it goes exactly with what Brett said. And what we declare and preach and believe. She said, to all of these settlers, Oregon is heaven. To all of these other settlers, Oregon is heaven. But to me, this is heaven. And she's talking about the journey. Because on this journey, she's becoming alive. On this journey, she's becoming alive. It is not what we become when we get there. It is what we become on the way there. And that's what God's doing in all of us right now. That's what God's, this journey that we're on right now. And that's what it looks like when this collides in a place of need. In a real place of need. But that's what this is what it looks like and feels like when it comes together. But the key to all of this, John the Beloved talks about, and he says, and it's simple. We keep talking about, I hadn't got the answers. We hadn't got it figured out. We say that all the time, you know. I'm not all that in a bag of chips and everything. But he tells us what the answer is. And in 1 John 4, in us having it figured out, and us having it going on, and the answer is God is love. Drop the mic. God is love. He says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. This is found in chapter 4, verse 7. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. We quote John 3:16, it says, for God so loved, and that's past tense, but God is love, ever-present reality. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. You know what the gateway for everything is? The gateway for everything is everyone who loves. That's the gateway for everything. For everyone who loves. You know why the ministry is so layered? We keep talking about that. My mom called me this morning. She said, y'all having a trip report. I think that's what she said. Are y'all having a trip report this morning? Because if y'all are, I want to come, because I'll hear all about the mission trip. And I'll get everything and all that. I said, nah, Mom, we really don't do that. I said, well, obviously people have a chance to express or whatever, different, but we're really not. Because it's so layered, it's not something I can put on a PowerPoint and say, we built this house, and we did. The kids did. So powerful, so amazing. Declare generational blessings over your household. Stand in a place and say, as for me and my house, this is who we are. And I rebuke everything that becomes contrary to that. You know, we read Psalm 139 last week or the week before. And in the middle of David being in a place of wonder, you know what he does? He comes in and he says, God, I hate your enemies. I hate your enemies. Your enemies are my enemies, and my enemies are your enemies. You stand in a place of declaration. You stand in a place of this is my house, and this is, we built the house, and we taught the kids. The kids, I wish you guys could have seen it. Every floor joist. The kids put down the floor. We would put the boards in place. Their version of tongue and groove. We would put the boards in place. And on every floor joist there was a kid. From Jace to KK, the two youngest, all the way up to Sydney Hannah. And we had seven floor joists down through here. And I think Brett was on one end. There might have been a 16 by 16 house. That eight people are going to live in, by the way. A household of eight and a 16 by 16. And on every floor joist was a kid. And they were driving every nail in that floor. And I told the kids, I said, when we got done, I said, we all told the kids, look at what you did. I said, look at what you did. And outside the house, there was a little pile of charred wood and furniture that was what was left of their old house. And I said, tonight somebody's going to have a floor under their feet and a roof over their head because of what you did. And I said, this is not what we do. This is who we are. So you come in and you declare that over your family, and you declare that over your household, and you say, as for me and my house, this is who we are. And it's not Christians, and it's not Baptists, it's not Methodists, it's not Church of God. It's sons and daughters of love. I don't even really use the term Christian anymore. I'm just a son. I'm certainly not a denomination, and non-denomination became a denomination. But we're people of love. And getting back to where I was, the reason that the ministry is so layered is because everything about the ministry is soaked and immersed in love. And the enemy can't fight that. Sin curse can't fight that. Generational curse can't fight that. The enemy has no answer for love. Why do you think the present culture has done so much to divide us? Can you not step back and look and see that? It is all about dividing us, because he is fighting the only way that he can against love. And that's division. And he'll do it racially. He will do it politically. He will do it culturally. He will do it economically. He will do it. There's a war going on right now in the Ukraine. Russians against the Ukrainians. And everything that he does is to try to divide us, because that is his one tool that he can come and combat love with. But love conquers all. Love conquers all. Love conquers our differences. Love covers a multitude of sins. The key to this is not getting it right, guys. The key to this is loving right. Because I've been doing this for a long time, and I still screw up. No, I still screw up. I still sin. I still say stuff I shouldn't say and do stuff I shouldn't do. And the Lord's quick to point out to me. But he doesn't do it by wailing on me. He does it by, like, come on, man. And I'm like, God, why did I say that? That was so stupid. Why did I do that? But if I love right, it's okay. Learn from it and move on. Try not to do it again. But at the end of the day, if we love like we're loved, if we love like we're loved, they're not physically here this morning, but they're here. You know why Jacob and Stephanie are here? You know why they were in Honduras this week? Because of love. Wasn't because circumstances lined up. Wasn't because of understanding. It wasn't because of answered prayers. It was because of love. We contend for all of those things, and we declare all of those things, and we contend for our faith to believe for all of those things. But the one thing that the enemy can't counter, and that's love. That's the one thing he cannot counter. So John says, everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. You want to go deep with God? Dude, this is me and you talk about, we talk a lot about this stuff. You want to go deep with God? You know what the answer is, Marty? I'm figuring it out. It's a four-letter word. It's love. You want to mature in Him? It's love. You want to look like Jesus? It's love. Amen. It's what He's saying right here. It's not getting. It's not learning how to communicate with people. And I, you know, every time I go to a Spanish speaking country, I'm like, man, I got to learn Spanish. I got to learn Spanish. I'll get on my Duolingo and I'll start working my Duolingo. And then I look down there on the little dirt road and I see Eden and Rachel, a little Honduran girl down there, and they're BFFs. They reconnected after 2 years, and they're down there. And Eden's speaking Spanglish to her, and they're getting along great. Rachel, she's your peeps, isn't she? She's all right. You know what both of them understood with each other? Love. Why, Carolina could stand where she's standing right now. And I look and I see, talking about a flower. I'm seeing a flower in her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is beautiful. He says, you know what brought it about? Love. Love, love. It's what brought it out. It's what brought it about. Everyone who loves is father. But you say, man, I want a father. I need a spiritual father. And we look for men to be our spiritual fathers. And He says that if you love, He'll father you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with earthly spiritual fathers. Yes, God puts men and women in our lives. Yes, we're to fall into those roles. But at the end of the day, He said, I will father you if you just love. And not only did He say, I'll father you if you love, He said, I will allow you to experience an intimate knowledge or understanding of me. We're on this great quest to figure out who God is and to find God and to understand God and understand Scripture and understand His ways and understand all of these things. And He says, you know how you come into that place? He said, if you just love, I will allow you to experience intimacy with me if you just love. If you just love. If you just love. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when He sent His matchless Son into the world so that we might live through Him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved Him. It was His love, not ours. He proved it by sending His Son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. He says, delightfully loved ones, if He loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. It's who we are. We love one another. We love one another. We love one another. And it's not just those that look like us and act like us and think like us. I've said this before. Man, I want to do life with that guy because he thinks like I think. In a spiritual sense. And that's a good thing, I guess. But at the end of the day, you know what? I want to love the way He loves. Loving one another should be our way of life. And He says, no one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor. We know in part, we see in part, we get glimpses, we get touches, we get brushes, we get winks, we get all of these things. But then He says, but if we love one another, God makes His permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in Him. Are you seeing the key to all of this, guys? The key to everything, the gateway to everything, is love. Love. If we love one another, God makes His permanent home in us. I just want more of God. You know how you get more of God? You love. We were singing that song, so beautiful. I'll make room for you. I'll make room for you. You know how we make room for him and he actually comes in? We say, well, man, you know, if I spend more time in my prayer closet, my quiet time, my devotion time, all of these things, be still and all of this stuff, then God will come in and he'll fill that space and all that. But you know what he promises right here? He said, if we love one another, that creates the space. You know how I make room for him? I love one another. This morning, all over our community, there are churches that are coming together. And tomorrow at Bremen School, there'll be a high school full of kids that'll come together, and there'll be such a weight and such a focus on Ralex Price. Last week, kids that were in toward each other will not be in toward each other tomorrow. The little trivial petty stuff that divides us will not exist tomorrow in Bremen High School. You know why? Because love will have brought that school together. I guarantee you, when we were down here this morning, there wasn't a single person in this room that was thinking, man, I'm offended at Brett House. He hurt my feelings last week. So-and-so didn't step up, and so-and-so didn't do this, or so-and-so did this, and they hurt my feelings. Wasn't nobody thinking that, were you? You said, man, because the Spirit was so thick. You know why the Spirit was so thick? Because of love. You know how we have supernatural gatherings together, whether it's small group or corporate gathering on Sunday morning or on a hillside in Tezate, Honduras? You know how we have that and experience that? You know what ushers that in? It's not awesome praise and worship. It's not good teaching. Well, if Brother Sid could just step it up some, man, we'd have a Holy Ghost revival. You know what brings in Holy Ghost revival? You guys are amazing. I told them this morning, I said, when they came to the center room, I said, and man, I was tore up. I wish y'all get here early sometimes. You get here early sometimes, and God will just, man, knock you down. I said, y'all sounded like angels this morning. James said, maybe you did hear angels. I did, and it was coming through Noah and Madeline and James and Linda and Scott's vocal cords. But you know what ushered all of this in this morning? That we've love. Love. Wasn't a polished word. I made notes. I didn't come up here on Saturday night and rehearse a sermon. All we can do is just come in and just love right. Just love right. And I saw y'all down here loving on people. Y'all were loving on each other. And God says, I'm in the middle of that. When you're loving on this one and this one's loving on you. I mean, that's what it's about, isn't it? Our personalities don't line up. Love conquers all. Love brings everything into fullness. I'm going to close with this statement that the Apostle John makes right here. This is so profound. It has knocked me on the floor spiritually, and I've not been able to get up from it yet. Go back to the beginning of this verse, verse 12. Can you pull that up, Karen? Verse 12. All right, look at that second sentence. But if we love one another, then jump down to the end of that sentence. His love is brought to its full expression in us. That middle part's awesome. Permanent home in us. Our permanent home in him. But look at this. This is concerning the world. If we love one another, his love is brought to its full expression. expression in us. No more looking through a glass darkly. No more looking through something that was veiled. When I gave you that word the other night, and I talked about that, it was that they were talking about a flowering and a blossoming and all of that stuff. And then Lord come in and he told me, he said, what it really is, it's an unveiling. Not that, yes, all of that is true, but he said it's really an unveiling. But you know what that unveiling is? You know what it is unveiling? It's not Krista Smith, spiritual superwoman. You know what it is? Perfect, pure love. And you know what perfect pure love is? It is God's full expression to the world. Bill Johnson said Jesus is perfect theology. You know what John says? John says love is perfect theology. Love is perfect theology. God, what do you want to say to the world? I want to see what God looks like. I want to know about God. In the beginning of 1 John, you know what he said that was? He said it was Jesus. He said God showed us his full expression in Jesus. And then we see this beautiful transition that takes place. How many of y'all want to look like Jesus and act like Jesus and talk like Jesus and be like Jesus? We would all say, yeah. Have the authority of Jesus. I was down here trying to pray in authority a while ago. Coming against principalities and all that junk. And you know how I do that? You know how I look like Jesus to the world? His love is brought to its full expression in us. And they don't look at us and see Madeline Siegel in all of her glory and got it going on and living the perfect life. And we've all been there and done that and said, man, you know, we said look on us because we got it going on. And it should be look on us, because when you look on us, you're going to see love. In a flawed journey, in flawed humanity, but you're going to see perfect love. And then when they look at and on you and they see perfect love, they do not care what your doctrine is. They don't care what your denomination is. They don't care what translation of the Bible you use. But they see the love of Jesus. And they say, this is heaven. This is God. I have seen God. That's why Jesus could say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because he said, this is what the Father looks like. And tell you, when we love right, that's what the Father looks like. So the key to all this, guys, is love. How do we love one another? How do we love the world? How do we love Rick and his family, Whitley and her family, Ralex and her family? How do we love them? Because when we love right, then we'll pray and have faith like it was our daughter over there. Haven, I'm fully convinced that's why you're here today. There's nothing that can ever tell me anything different. That is why you are here today. Because when you were hanging at the point of life and death and doctors are like, it ain't looking good, and she's so small and she's so tiny and I don't know if she can make it or any of these things, I saw a people of that were in a faith community. And you look around this room and everybody that was here at that time, some of you are new and you weren't there, but you know what everybody that was here did? They prayed for you. with a love like you were their own. The men prayed for you like you were their daughter. The women prayed for you like you were the child in their womb that was detaching from the wall of the uterus. They prayed with a pure love. That's one of the greatest examples that I've ever seen, Brett. And I'll never forget it. Do we love well? It's the key to everything. It's the key to, if I love well, then I walk away from sin. If I love well, I'll pursue truth. We can say correct doctrine or whatever. If I love well, I'll pursue truth. If I love well, I'll be generous. I won't have to talk about tithing. Speaking of which, I won't have to talk about that. If we love well, it all comes. If I love well, it's the key to everything. It's the key to everything. You think the drivers love y'all because y'all pay them well and give them opportunity? No. It's because y'all love well. It's because we love well. That's why they love you, Scott. It's because you love well. Why Hector hugged you yesterday? Why Hector hugged me yesterday? We went him on the trip with us. Saw him in the airport. Because we've loved him well in the past. And you know what? I've seen him love my grandchildren well. That's it, guys. That's everything. That's everything. That's everything. There's nothing else. You can't add anything to it. That's everything. That's everything. So what do we do when we leave here? I'm just trying to figure out life. Just love well. That's figuring life out. Love well. Love well. Let's do something we hadn't done in a long time. I think we can probably still do it, man. Let's get in a big circle around the room and join hands. I ain't even gonna ask you to slide together and join hands. I want us to get in a big circle and join hands. Brett, thank you for letting God use you this morning, man. You were spot on. And I know that's not your thing. But when you love well, stuff like that flows out of you. When you love well, stuff like that flows out of you. Man, let's jump in somewhere in here. You got that? You got that? Amen. Let me dive in. Let me dive in. Can I dive in with y'all? Everybody holding hands? All right, you see this right here? This is unbroken. Unbroken. This is what love does. We're different. We're at different places in life. But we're unbroken. This is what love does. This is what out there is supposed to look like. Contend for this. Contend for this. Contend for this in your heart. That's the battle. Contend for this in your heart. Contend for this with each other. Contend for this in your home. Contend for this in your community, in your school, in the world in which God has planted us. All right? As we pray, we want to pray for this. We want to pray for the Yerkes. Is it Yerkes? The Yerkes family? They just lost a 2-year-old. I don't have answers for this, guys. I don't have a theology that has answers for this. Because I can show you one scripture that I'm like, okay, this is it. And then I can show you another scripture and say, okay, maybe that wasn't it. But I can tell you this, love conquers all. And the Yerkes family, they need love. From strangers, from their community. If they have a church family, from their church family. It's what they need right now. Love is the answer. Amen. Continue to remember Ashley and her family. Her mom. We talked about it last week a little bit. A lot of y'all weren't here. Continue to remember them. Continue to remember Ida. Yeah. She's fighting for health. Mm-hmm. Pray for these people. Lift them up.
Anybody else?
Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Hey, Brett House, do you want to lead us, brother?